Chers auditeurs, je vous souhaite la bienvenue à votre rendez-vous musical Appassionato sur Radio Judaïca 90.2 FM que vous pouvez également suivre en streaming sur notre site radiojudaica.be. Cette semaine, je vous propose de découvrir le surprenant projet Le tombeau de Monsieur Claude Debussy, réalisé par Tom Erlev et les membres du Bushman Mehta Symphony Orchestra. Cette interview a été réalisée en anglais pour le confort de notre invité, Tom Erlev, dont voici le parcours. Alors Tomer, vous menez une carrière polyvalente en tant que pianiste solo, chambriste et pédagogue. En tant que concertiste, vous collaborez avec des orchestres comme le Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, l'English Chamber Orchestra ou le Philharmonic d'Israël. En tant que récitaliste et chambriste, vous vous produisez au Lincoln Center de New York, à la Philharmonic de Berlin, au Théâtre Colón à Buenos Aires, au Beijing Concert Hall, au Shanghai Municipal Theatre, ainsi que dans toutes les grandes salles d'Israël. En 2004, avec l'Orchestre Philharmonique d'Israël, le chef Zubin Mehta et l'homme d'affaires Joseph Buchman, vous fondez l'école de musique Buchman Mehta, qui forme les jeunes musiciens israéliens et nourrit les futures générations d'instrumentistes de l'Orchestre Philharmonique d'Israël. Je vous propose de débuter notre entretien avec « Hommage à Claude Debussy » de Gian Francesco Malipiero. Nous venons d'écouter « Hommage à Claude Debussy » de Gian Francesco Malipiero par Tom Erlev, notre invité, un extrait de « Tombeau de Monsieur Claude Debussy » paru chez Naxos. Tell us, Tomer, how did the Buchman Mehta School of Music came to existence?
The Buchman Mehta School of Music was founded in 2004 on the basis of the older music academy that already operated in Tel Aviv since 1945. The academy was an integral part of Tel Aviv University, and in 2004 it was joined by the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra. So the two institutions decided to come.
And how would you describe today's life at the Buchmann's Meta School of Music?
Life on the school campus is very intense. The school is relatively small, very selective, very intimate, only about 250 students. But the scope of activity is huge, with orchestra, choirs, workshops, opera ensemble, dozens of chamber ensembles, contemporary music, 200 concerts every year on campus. So every student studying with us is extremely busy from morning to evening, and the curriculum requires a lot of stamina and constant progress.
And from which nationalities are your students?
We have a great international program which attracts students from all over the world, from the Far East, the Near East, Europe, South America, North America, even some students from Australia. This is great because it allows the excellent Israeli students to study in a cosmopolitan atmosphere and meet different mentalities and different approaches to music. It also creates international connections and collaborations that will carry on with the students into their professional lives, into their future.
And where is it located?
The school is located in the Faculty of the Arts at Tel Aviv University campus in Ramat Aviv, which is in the northern part of the city of Tel Aviv.
And how is the school structure? How many departments, for example, you have in the school?
We have departments for orchestral instruments, piano, vocal department, composition, choral conducting, orchestral conducting, musicology. In short, we have performance, composition and research all under one roof.
I suggest we proceed with a little bit of music. Alors, je vous propose d'écouter les élèves de la Buchmann Meta School of Music dans la symphonie pour instruments à vent d'Igor Stravinsky sous la direction de Zeev Dorman. Nous venons d'écouter les vents de l'orchestre de la Buchmann Meta School of Music qui interprétait pour nous la symphonie pour instruments à vent d'Igor Stravinsky sous la direction de Zeev Dorman. Tomer, how does the Buchmann Meta School of Music connect with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra?
The School of Music and the Israel Philharmonic are in complete symbiosis. First of all, very many of our teachers are leading musicians in the Israel Philharmonic, and they combine playing in the orchestra with teaching the younger generation at our school. Secondly, the great conductors and the great soloists who come to the Philharmonic also come to us and work with the students. Thanks to this, we get a influx of international stars that every school in the world would have dreamed of. We hosted artists such as Yo-Yo Ma, Andras Schiff, Perlman, Zuckerman, Yuja Wang, Christoph Eschenbach, Kurt Mazur, Thomas Hampson, Thomas Kwasthoff, and many, many, many others. And of course, regularly, Zubin Mehta, and now the music director of the Israel Philharmonic, the young Lahav Shani, who is a rising star in the international scene, and also our graduate. Thirdly, the principal musicians of the Israel Philharmonic come to work with our orchestra and prepare the various sectionals of the orchestra to play in their own concerts and their own orchestral projects. And last but not least, outstanding musicians from our school join the Philharmonic in their own concerts, and they play as part of the practical training program that the Philharmonic has for our students. There's no concert today in the Philharmonic where you don't see young students from our school sitting side by side with the principal players of the Israel Philharmonic, and they play alongside teachers and students. I think this is so wonderful, and they play there just an integral part of the orchestra. In short, as I said, it's a complete symbiosis.
We go back to music. Je vous propose à présent d'écouter le guitariste Ruben Cerussi dans Homenaje de Manuel de Falla. Thank you. Vous êtes sur Radio Judaïka et vous écoutez Appassionato, votre rendez-vous musical. Ruben Serussi interprétait Omenache de Manuel de Falla. Ruben Serussi dirige le département composition de la Burman Meta School of Music à Tel Aviv. Nous poursuivons notre entrevue en anglais avec Tomer Zef de l'école de musique Burman Meta de Tel Aviv à propos du projet Le Tombeau de Monsieur Claude Debussy. Tell us, Tomer, what is Le Tombeau de Monsieur Claude Debussy?
Le Tombeau de Claude Debussy is a memorial anthology. It is in the memory of Claude Debussy, and it was commissioned by La Revue Musicale, the music magazine, in 1920. The idea was to have a special issue in the memory of Debussy that will include some essays, some personal testimonials, and also a very special project. The magazine asked 10 very prominent musicians, very prominent composers, some of them French, some of them international, to write original pieces that would somehow honor the memory of Debussy. And so they've approached such people as Ravel, Stravinsky, Bartok, Satie, Dukas, Falla, and also some lesser-known musicians. Back then they were very, very prominent, such as Eugene Goossens and Albert Roussel, Florent Schmitt, Francesco Malipiero, and so on and so on. Altogether 10 composers, and they all contributed one piece at their choice.
But what was La Revue Musicale back then?
La Revue Musicale was a new music magazine that aimed to document musical life in France and in Europe between the two world wars. It had a very, very serious presence.
But tell us, Tomer, how did you find out about this initiative from La Revue Musicale?
I first heard about the Le Tombeau de Claude Debussy when I was a doctoral student in New York. It was back in the 90s. And I was actually searching the theme of collective works that were written jointly by several composers. And in this capacity, I came across this incredible, incredible anthology. I found the actual magazine in New York Public Library. Back then there was no internet and there was no other means of looking for rare scores other than go and look for them physically speaking. So I remember that I was going from one archive to the other, and finally I found the reading hall where they kept in New York the magazines. And I was going one issue after the other at the year 1920. This was the year that I knew that that included the composition in the issue of La Revue Musicale, the issue of the month of December. And I was going January, February, March, April, and my fingers were trembling. And then by the end of it, I found it was in very bad shape, very dusty. It was almost 100 years old. But it was a great, great feeling to hold it physically in your hand. I think that such a feeling you don't have today when you find things digitally. It's not even nearly as exciting as it was back then. Real, real challenge. And from that point on, I came to the ambition to record the piece and get the pieces that stemmed out of it also be recorded. But the project needed 29 musicians to be done, and this had to wait. And it was not only until I became the head of the Buchmann Mehta School of Music, where I could get all this large group of fantastic musicians to join me in this non-commercial initiative and do this effort to bring about all the pieces that were written and were connected to this 1920 initiative.
Oh, this is an amazing story. In your opinion, why La Revue Musicale commissioned this work to this specific composer and not, for example, to other contemporaries like Strauss, Busoni or Respighi?
I think that La Revue Musicale decided, first of all, to ask prominent French musicians who were active at the time, such as Ravel, Satie, Ducas, Florent Schmitt, Albert Roussel, but also they wanted also international figures who were connected with the musical life in France of that time. They were not French, but they were very present and admired in the musical life of Paris of the time. And these were, of course, Stravinsky, Manuel de Falla, Bartok, and so on and so on. So I think it was a mélange of people who were both Parisian or had influence on the musical life in Paris of that time.
And how did La Revue Musicale present each score? Was it included in each number? Was there a special edition with all the scores?
La Revue Musicale had the whole issue dedicated in the memory of Claude Debussy. But inside the issue, in the midst of all the articles and the essays and the testimonials, they had an appendix. It was a separate appendix, a separate booklet, in which they had this a project of 10 compositions, 10 musical compositions, printed separately. So you could get both the issue itself, but you could separate also the booklet and have it put in your music library like any other score that can be kept on the shelf. But it is worthwhile mentioning that aside of this appendix of the magazine, the music was not published until 2009. Only in 2009, 90 years after the initiation of this memorial project, a standard music publication decided to take it out. It was Lorrain Publications, and they took all the separate compositions from the different publishing houses and put them together in one book of music. But it took a long time until it was up, available on the shelf for music lovers and pianists alike.
I suggest we proceed with more music. Alors voici un autre extrait du tombeau de Monsieur Debussy, l'accueil des muses in memoriam Debussy du compositeur Albert Roussel. Notre invité, Tomer Zev, est au piano. Tom Herzev a interprété pour nous l'accueil des muses in memoriam Debussy du compositeur Albert Roussel. Nous poursuivons notre entrevue en anglais avec Tom Herzev à propos du projet Le tombeau de Monsieur Claude Debussy. Tom, how did you decide to sequence this work for the recorded album?
This is a great question. Thank you for allowing me to answer this. The decision to organize the pieces in this album had to be different from the original order of the pieces as they were printed in the La Revue Musicale in 1920. The reason for this is that the pieces were commissioned with no single mastermind who saw the whole anthology from the bird's eye or from a comprehensive perspective. So each composer wrote whatever he wanted, in whatever length he wanted, in whatever character he wanted. And this was not at all coordinated with what all the other composers wrote. So what I had to do was to try and create a concert version that would make sense and create a sensible, balanced, varied listening experience for the listener. Specifically speaking, I started with a dreamy section and then a more dance-like section, and then one of the pieces that was more monumental, then one of the pieces that was for voice and piano, and then back to solo piano, and so on, I was trying to make sense out of all this. Now, after the original cycle was fully presented, then we added the larger works that resulted or stemmed from the original cycle, and this is Ravel's Sonata and the Stravinsky Symphony.
Did the composer reuse the material of this course later in time for other works?
Again, this is a very interesting point. The composers who participated in the project were very practical people and did not want to lose good musical materials. So therefore, when the project was over, quite a number of them took these materials that they contributed to the tombeau and used them, or better, actually reused them in independent works that they had written. So Stravinsky took the chorale that he had written and made it as the cornerstone of his symphony for wind instruments. Ravel took the movement that he had written for violin and cello, and this was the first movement of his full-size duo. Florent Schmitt took this movement that he had written and used it in an anthology or collection called Mirage. Satie took his song, and this was the first in the Quatre Petites Mélodies. And Faya orchestrated his piece and made it part of an orchestral suite called Homenages, or Homages. So it's very interesting to see how everything started here in the tombeau and then further developed and found its eternal resting place in other pieces and other projects by these composers.
Je vous propose d'écouter à présent Hommage à Debussy du compositeur australien Sir Eugene Gosens. Notre invité, Tom Herzev, est au piano. Hommage à Debussy du compositeur australien Sir Eugene Gosens. Notre invité Tomer Zev était au piano. Il s'agit d'un extrait de l'album Le tombeau de Monsieur Debussy, paru chez Naxos. Alors nous avons comme tradition d'offrir à notre invité le choix de partager avec nos auditeurs un morceau. So we have as tradition to invite our guests to share with our listeners a musical piece of their choice, not necessarily classical. What will you wish us to listen to?
The piece that I wanted to share with you as something that is close to my heart is not a classical piece. It's actually a chanson, but this chanson was not written in Paris. It was written in Tel Aviv, and it is one of the most Tel Avivian chansons ever written. It's written by one of our greatest chansonniers, and this is Sasha Argov, who I think is not only a great Israeli a composer of chansons, but also on a global scale, one of the best one can ever hear. And the chanson that I wanted to share with you is called The Velvet Dress, Hasimla Hasgula. And it talks about an incredible imaginative night where the two lovers are going for a ball. The music itself is ever surprising, ever unexpected. There are harmonic surprises all throughout. It's one of the most chromatic chansons that one would ever approach. So this is how I would like to end our encounter today with these beautiful sounds from Tel Aviv.
Nous écoutons donc Hasimla Haskula, le choix de Tomer Lev.
אנחנו לא נשען את כל הלילה לפניו נשב ליד הכביש על שפת התעלה נרכב על מסעית ברוח הלילי נראה את הגבעות מתעוררות באור סגול ביתך יהיה צוחק וקיץ בחלון כשאנחנו נצא ביחד. את תלבשי את השמלה הסגולה ושוב עינייך מוצפות באור כהה. את תשלחי חיוך אל כל עובר בשב וסיגלית פתאום תפרח בשערך. את תזמרי לך שיר שאין מילה שכח. את תצחקי פתאום ולא תדעי מדוע כשאנחנו נצא ביחד. הבוקר יבוא, הבוקר יבוא, אנחנו לא נשען את כל הלילה אחריו, נרוץ את כל החוף, נשתה את כל העיר, נשיר באוטובוס שירים משוגעים, נשב 100 שעות על הגדר שמול ביתך, וכך זה יחזור. וכך יהיה תמיד, כך יהיה שנצא ביחד. איך תלבשי את השמלה הסגולה, ואיך תוצף נשתי עינייך אור כהה. תשלחי חיוך אל כל עובר ושב וסיגלי פתאום תפרח איך תזמרי לך שיר שאת מילך שחר ותצחקי פתאום ולא תתאי מדוע כאשר לא נצא ביחד
Hassim Lachasgoula, le choix de Tom Erlev. Ainsi s'achève votre rendez-vous musical Appassionato. Merci Tom Erlev d'avoir accepté notre invitation. Merci à Carlos Zamajoa d'avoir assuré la technique de cette émission. N'oubliez pas qu'Appassionato est diffusé sur les ondes et le site de Radio Judaïca les lundis à 13h, les jeudis à 17h et les dimanches à 9h. Merci chers auditeurs de nous avoir écoutés. À la semaine prochaine. D'ici là, portez-vous bien.